you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about Jesus. Who is this Jesus? Well, he is the one who has changed the world. He has changed the hearts of millions. He calls us today. He calls each of us. He says, "Will you love me? Will you trust me? Will you praise me?" And I'm here to encourage you to love and trust and praise him, and to learn to know him in your sorrows, in your difficulties, in that hard place where you find yourself, with that difficult person, in your marriage, as a mother of young children, as a prisoner, or a trucker, or a lawyer, or a doctor. Jesus can change your life. Just a week or so ago, my husband and I were in Europe. There was an African pastor. He has only been a Christian for a few years, but he has become a real pastor in an international church. And he learned that one of the members of that church had taken up residence with a woman to whom he was not married. And so this faithful pastor went straight over to the house, confronted this young man, and you know what he said to him? "Do you love Jesus? Do you love the Lord Jesus? Then why are you here? Why are you here living with this woman who is not your wife? Get out. Get out of here." Now, what's the connection? Well, if you love Jesus, the proof of love is obedience. And that young man really did love Jesus. He hadn't really thought through what he was doing. He needed that reminder from the pastor. And he got out. He proved his love for Jesus by obedience. Why should we? Well, because Jesus is God. Yesterday, we talked about some of the reasons why Jesus was not tolerated by the highest proponents of Jewish law in his day. He did not fit their image. He said things that outraged them. He did not conform to Jewish law in every particular. Jesus, of course, was a Jewish rabbi. He was an itinerant preacher. But in his itinerations, as he called the common people, he demonstrated a freedom which appeared to be incompatible with the strictures which governed the lives of Jews. He was pretty strong competition to the other rabbis and to the Pharisees, the authorities in Jewish law. But the crowds loved him. Here was one who demonstrated both freedom and truth. Today, we're told that there isn't any objective or universal truth. It's a climate of moral relativism. I'll do what feels good for me, you do what's right for you. And don't tell me what to do, and I won't tell you what to do. I'm accused very often of dishing out standards which are too high, impossibly high. Well, of course, what I'm trying to give on this program is not merely Elizabeth Elliot opinions. I do interject opinions sometimes, of course I do. And you can discard those. But these great principles are not mine. I didn't write them. These come from God's Word, and they are the great principles which have shaped my life. By that, I don't mean that I am a perfect example. Very far from it. But I am seeking to conform my life to the principles that God has laid down in His Word, and I can certainly say that wherever I have been obedient, it has led to joy. And wherever I've been disobedient, it has led to misery. I do believe that there is objective truth, universal truth, and that there is not moral relativism. A great contemporary Christian wrote this: authentic freedom is ordered to truth. Freedom has been untethered from truth in today's world, but freedom cannot stand alone without degenerating into license. All personal and social life becomes the assertion of power. The proposal that freedom can get along without truth is intellectually unconvincing, spiritually incoherent, and morally disastrous. We were driving in a car not long ago with someone who was talking about how terrible the other drivers were, and another driver cut us off and very nearly scraped the fender. Why do they do this? And we got into a discussion, and somebody said, well, it's just a power play, that's what it is. And the men in the car agreed, it's a power play. It's an assertion of power. I am going to do my thing, and you are not going to stop me. If I want to swing into this lane, I'm going to swing into this lane, and you can like it or you can lump it. Very silly little things, aren't they? And yet, so indicative of the loss of absolutes. On Boston Common, there are little signs on the grass. Please keep off the grass. You can walk around in Boston Common, and you will see people here and there sitting on the grass, walking on the grass. And sometimes I'd like to stop and say to some of those people, you know, there wouldn't be any grass for you to sit on if most people didn't obey those little signs. There would be no freedom to enjoy the grass. But there are those who do keep the law. And so the others who break the law can continue to believe that there is no such thing as moral absolutes. True humanism is directed toward the transcendental, toward the ultimate good, who is God. Now be very careful, I'm talking about true humanism. Man's true fulfillment, not the humanist manifesto, that's a very far cry from what we're dealing with here. But what is it that leads to man's ultimate joy and fulfillment? It's God himself, God's truth. And reason participates in the fullness of truth, this great contemporary Christian has said, through revelation. God has revealed himself in creation, through the prophets, in his word, and most spectacularly, through the visible life of the Lord Jesus Christ here on earth. And so we've been thinking about what Jesus did and what he said and what he showed us when he walked here on earth for those brief 33 years. Is there no objective or universal truth? So says the Supreme Court in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. Listen to this. The Supreme Court is really, in effect, throwing out objective truth when they say that the concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life is up to each individual to determine. Let me read that again. This is what the Supreme Court said in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. The concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life is up to each individual to determine. Now this, ladies and gentlemen, is ethical relativism. The truth is then no more than the will of each individual, or the majority of individuals. The Ten Commandments which God gave to Moses are not for nothing. And it's not for nothing that God delivered them mostly in the negative. Some people have raised a question about that. Why all these negatives? Why thou shalt nots? And here's a very good answer to that question. We cannot always do the good that we would, but we can always refuse to do evil. We cannot always do the good that we would, but we can always refuse to do evil. It is never legitimate to do evil in order that good may come. For example, when is rape morally justified, or the torture of children, or an Auschwitz? The answer is never. It's never justified to rape someone, to torture children, to put them in concentration camps. Moral theologians are adopting methods that subvert the possibility of moral theology. By separating certain areas of human action from revelation and from divine norms. And the evil of abortion is one of those things for which God is going to have to judge America. Millions of babies being systematically killed. It's an industry. Just the other day, I heard that a mother fed her newborn infant to pit bulls, pit bulldogs. I was absolutely stunned and horrified, and yet I thought, is it different from abortion, where a woman fully consents and even pays for the dismembering and the destruction of her child? May God help us to recognize that God's truth is meant for our freedom, for our joy, for our ultimate fulfillment. Read about Jesus. Study what he said. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart to who he is.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.